You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
This is the Dan Le Batour Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So guys, got my top five jerseys you can wear.
I'll allow it.
Right? Okay, here we go. Thanks, EP.
Great point you got there.
Number five, basketball jersey.
Get off my plane.
My bad.
The basketball jersey, as we've noted, you have to be in shape. You got to have some cool tattoos on your arms.
For me, this is the worst.
It's hard. Yeah, it's just hard to wear. It's a hard to wear jersey. Most people wear it with a t-shirt underneath. That doesn't really look great either. It just doesn't look good.
Is there anything worse than over the button down? Oh. The jersey over the button down.
Wall Street,
bro. Is that getting drafted? What are you doing?
No, that's the Wall Street, bro.
No, it happens in Miami too.
They're all Wall Street bros that flew down to Miami.
I think Dan did it once.
Dan, did you do that?
I wasn't listening to you.
That's a phone. No, that's not.
That's a
phone.
A yes.
What's the? Hold on.
That's
come
fine.
Come on, Dominique. It's proceed. Disrespectful. It's proceed. Disrespectful. I can't enforce.
I've told you the story. The only time I've thrown up on a plane in like the last 25 years was watching the show.
When he tried to eat the paper. Yeah, that was a great one.
I threw up, man.
I can't find him. What is the penalty? He's disrespecting the rules. I love having him around. He's insightful. He's got wide range.
He does have range.
Between smart and fart. Yes, he's great that way.
Here's the funny part, Dan. When you send him to the DMV, he just goes home.
No, I got no jurisdiction. This is what's happened.
D.C., Maryland, Virginia, no, guys. You know, I got it.
Let me explain to you what happened. This is what happened. It's annoying because what's happened is the cutthroat guy who gets to the top of football in Harvard Business School because he's better at most things than everybody else got into the media game and learned very quickly, oh, God, this is so much fun and different than anything that I have ever done. And now he's a monster is the problem. He's got now he is too outspoken. He's arrogant. He steamrolls people on television.
Howard Bryant. I'm great at everything, but I see Howard Bryant and I'm like, most things I look at people like, I could do this better than you. No matter what it is, most things that are out there, I'm like, yeah, I could do that better than you.
But he couldn't play corner.
Fair, but I think it's about admiring
both of them.
Tore both hamstrings getting out of bed. Yes. We laughed at it.
Shout out to Juju.
We laughed at it the exact same way.
It was about Howard Bryant, my compliment, and you guys ruined it.
But I mean, no, all this group knows you about Howard Bryant.
It's going to be, so like he writes books.
They don't know his journalistic credentials, and Howard Bryant, they know him, the guy who tore two hamstrings getting out of bed. Sports writer.
He is the one person that I look at what they do, and I both admire it and accept that I couldn't do it. Everyone else is like, yeah, even if I admire you, I'm like, man, give me a couple weeks. I'll figure that shit out. Give me a couple weeks and a book, some experience. I'll beat you at your own game.
Number four.
Jerseys.
Number four, the football jersey.
All right, good job, Chris.
Right, a little slow there.
A little slow, yeah. No, football jersey, you can wear it in, like, obviously going to the game, you look fine.
Nah.
Out and about going grocery shopping, it becomes a little cumbersome. Also,
it fits weird.
It fits weird. Also, here's another problem, and because there's a big gap between the bottom two and the top three. And the huge gap is basketball and football, you have to wear someone's jersey.
Yeah.
You got to have someone's name and someone's number on it. I have one football jersey that I own. It is a Giants authentic Plexico Burris jersey. Bought like legit 2 weeks before he shot himself.
Oh.
So it's like at the time, I'm like, funny. Yeah.
But all of it's fun. That's a funny jersey to wear as your symbol. You should still wear that. The guy who shot himself. I was assuming
that you bought it the day he shot himself. I thought it was like a bit.
Nope. Bought it and felt like, oh yeah. Like it was on sale too. I was like, oh, I got this one.
You know what you need to do is like, anticipate people's mistakes, because as soon as someone does something dumb, you can't buy their number with a name on the back. We need to go through rosters and find out who we think is going to do something dumb.
Forgive me, guys. We have gotten old. Thank you, Roy. Roy whispered in my ear because he too wants to be executive producer. Dan, explain the story. And you're telling a Plaxico Burris story, and I don't think everybody in that room knows that Plaxico Burris.
Yes, we all know the Plaxico Burris story.
Yeah, she knows.
How young do you think? I'm not like 16.
I'm not talking to you. I was talking to Tony and Jeremy.
No, come on, Dan. Don't do that.
I am.
That's the NFL. Come on. What do you want me to do?
Well, Roy, you just told me.
He meant for the listeners.
Jeremy, for whatever reason, was like, hey, somebody else doesn't know. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I just thought we're talking about a guy shooting himself.
Jeremy pulled the. I know what we're talking about.
Are you trying
about.
To EP the show, Jeremy?
Jess doesn't know.
Well, this is now you see behind the scenes.
Shadow EP.
Jeremy
just
no, not shadow EP. Jeremy also wants to be considered for the executive producer position.
Right now.
And he wants
need that
to,
funneled through me,
he
boys.
Wants to snake, he wants to snake his way up here.
I already took you down
here.
As top white guy, so.
Whoa! What?
Yeah.
He did. Jeremy's white. Look, I can't compete with this kid.
What are you going to do?
Oh, that's one. That's one thing you can't compete with.
That's
you
right.
can never be as white as Jeremy.
Yeah, yeah.
You can never be as
Try
white
it.
As Jeremy.
Give me a week.
What book are you gonna read?
Hey.
Harry Potter.
Oh yeah, that's cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey. Just give me a week. The first season of Friends, and I'm on that ass, Jeremy.
Yes.
I'm on
yes.
that ass.
Winner.
That very flat.
My middle
flat,
name is Chandler.
Ass. I'm on it.
What?
My middle name is Chandler.
Someone oh, told yeah. me life is
Bishop's
Come
on, Arena 9.
Come on, Dominique, I care about you.
No, play white guys.
You see how they clapped off rhythm? You can never do that, Dominique. You can never compete with that.
I could.
White guys.
I can see.
What do you want?
I can see. You have it. I cannot bear to oppress people nearly as aggressively and globally as. White guys, white. See, I even made that cool.
Too much soul.
Go sit in the penalty box.
What?
2 minutes.
What?
You gotta respect that.
Get the out of here. You're no penalty box. You think I'm gonna go penalty box? I'm not gonna pay your fines. Not gonna go penalty box. Not going to anywhere. Sit where I wanna sit. Talking to microphone upside down. My damn show. Change the name of this shit to Fox and Friends.
Well, I think that's taken.
Take it back.
Yeah.
But yeah, football jerseys fit weird.
Number three. Number three, the hockey jersey. I actually think the hockey jersey is very wearable. It's just because you guys live in Florida and it's warm all the time. But if you live somewhere where it gets cold, it actually it's a nice little sweater.
Is the grocery store always the place where you like?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So when I'm imagining these, I should always be imagining someone pushing a cart to a grocery store. Okay.
Yep. Maybe picking up like a cantaloupe and knocking on it.
You know? Get a little
hoodie
knock.
Under the hockey jersey.
Hoodie under the hockey jersey is a great look.
Snoop Dogg.
But you got to get like a thinner hoodie because then it gets too thick, too many layers. But
that is a good look. That
absolutely.
Good
look. I like a 93. I remember I saw Snoop Dogg do it immediately. Went and put a hoodie under a jersey.
Was it
immediately.
A penguin jersey?
It had to be a Penguins jersey or a Sharks jersey.
I think it was like a Charlotte Hornets hockey jersey.
Man, the Hornets used to have a great merch department, man. Let me just say that right now. Yeah. As an aside. I mean,
the starter jacket that Mac had was fire.
Hornets hockey jersey is not a great.
I'm telling you.
Don't make me go find a photo from 93.
Their owner must not know anything about sports merchandise.
Well, I only put them on some hockey jerseys. I like that. I think that is a good idea.
That's the Michael Jordan voice.
That's not the owner I was talking about. But the hockey jersey does not need to have a name and number, and so you can support your team without feeling like you're wearing somebody's name and number on your back. That's a great feeling.
What about a Bellamy jersey?
What? Keep my name out of your mouth. What's the matter with you?
Don't get slapped.
Number two, baseball jersey. Look, a well-fitting baseball jersey is a great look, man. Especially if you got a chain on. There's nothing in the world that looks better with a chain than a baseball jersey.
Is it the buttons? Is it the buttons that makes it feel like it's actually a shirt?
I don't know. Yeah, it feels a little formal.
Like
it's
my new thing is the crop top with the jersey unbuttoned over it.
That's my jersey look.
I couldn't find so I have a Cubs button down Ryan Sandberg jersey. Mm-hmm. But it has Velcro on it. Classic. It's very
Velcro. What are you, 12?
On a shirt?
I think it might be like a UXL or something. It's very old. But I tried that on this morning. I tried on my Marlins jerseys. The Marlins sent me a Hawaiian shirt. I tried that on.
Just a Hawaiian shirt?
It's a Marlins branded Hawaiian shirt.
She's gotten 72 shirts from the Marlins. She's been with the show a year and a half.
That's because
2 years this month.
They would like to affiliate themselves with her youth and coolness, and the rest of you guys ain't giving it off.
Oh, wow. Also got me tickets.
I just don't give a shit about the Marlins. Jeez.
But you admit that a baseball jersey with a chain is a
The first button unbuttoned too, so you show a little bit of the chest. You got to have a good looking chest. So you got to hit the pecs, hit the bench, get that nice chest, and you have that open shirt.
You can also go with the black t-shirt underneath, and so that it lets a better contrast for the chain as it rests right there. Mm. But the number one, far and away,
a golf jersey.
There's a huge gap.
So a polo.
The Tiger Woods red. No, number one is soccer. Don't need no name, don't need no number, don't even need to know what team it is. The colors and the sponsor
and the collar. They always have a nice collar.
Right here.
Not like a collared shirt, but like the literal like
collar. Because it's a different kind of texture than the rest of the shirt. Yeah.
What's the one though? What is the one where it's not, because I feel like at one point it was Argentina, probably like 8 years ago. But now I feel like the blue and white stripes was hot, and now it's like a little played out.
Never.
But like the colors. What is it now?
Everything's all played out. No, the number one jersey has to be, it's got to be like either Barcelona. Everyone loves the blue and red because of the stripes, like you said. Other big one, the Paris Saint-Germain ones have been excellent.
International is better though.
I like the club ones because it's all about the sponsor. The sponsor takes it up a notch when you see. Yeah, man. Okay. Kicks it up a notch when you see that sponsorship logo on there. Internationally, national team, I'm going to say Brazil, but
The yellow is pretty hot, but I feel like it's also played out. That's like
never played out
a Jordan jersey.
Speaking of sponsors, let's stop talking.
Professional.
Ad break? Was that a toss to an ad break?
It was. This dude is EP of the year.
He out here innovating.
Innovating
new ad breaks.
Shit.
Now they're going to pay more attention to the sponsor than they ever have.
Hey, listening audience, it's Mike Ryan, and you're a sports fan if you're listening to this show. Well, that's up for debate. You may not know this, but Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, that's key, and their low price guarantee. Game Time takes a guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. I was actually in Baltimore last season, always wanted to check out that ballpark, and I actually went to the Game Time app to actually see exactly what I was dealing with, and on top of that, I got a killer deal. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Dan Le Batard.
We like to call this one a chorus of Owen Wilson. Yeah. Ready?
Stugats.
Wow.
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 This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stukats.
Is this David's first official maiden voyage as an employee of Metalark Media?
Our announcement, our rollout was not very good. We did David Sampson a disservice here because he's been wanting to be aboard for a long time, and it came with a lot of booing, and it was unpopular, and his entrance was shitty. Nothing personal. Has it even been put on the big feed yet so that he can get that giant numbers jump on? But we got to put that on the feed for him because he's now a Metalark employee, and it's been really unpopular because I've said, I need business help. I need help with our business. And so Sampson is now signed up, huge betrayal by me to the South Florida public, because I've signed up with this snake who bilked the county for stadium dollars. Bilked. And so nobody likes him around here. Nobody around here likes him. Nobody likes the hire. Nobody's happy. And now I've got to introduce him that way.
We've only just begun. By the way, everything you said is so wrong on so many levels. Number one, I'm not an employee. Number two, I'm not even sure anything's signed yet. Number three, it's called an independent contractor. Number four, big feed. Big feed, no. There was some promotion that you did, which was funny. I think you must have fired the social media guy because it was promoted, or the person. It was promoted once and then never again in the past 4 days.
Juju,
welcome to Metalark.
No, wait a minute. Welcome to Metalark. Thank you, Amin. Not very helpful at all.
Can I grab the steering wheel for a second? Look, I love all the back and forth of this drama with David Sampson. Can we talk some bleeping baseball today? It's opening day. We're bringing an Adnan on. We got David Sampson. I don't want to talk about drama stuff.
Look,
let's talk some hardball.
Why, Jeremy, Roy, why are you laughing back there?
This is something completely separate.
Completely unrelated. Yeah. I'm distracting Roy from doing the actual show. You can send me to the penalty box.
Both of you, the fuck to the ocean.
Oh, like,
I'm doing a show here.
Dan, it's raining.
Both of you, right past the penalty box, into the rain. Both of you, how are you responsible?
It's raining.
Roy, I'm doing a show. Everyone's competing for executive producers. This guy wants to talk baseball because we got two experts here. They only want to talk movies, and I'm afraid Adnan, teammate guy, Roy, out of here.
I had a phone show.
Out of here.
It's my fault. It's raining.
But somebody film him in the rain. Out of here.
It's too late to change my mind.
I'm not Adnan. You're a consummate teammate. Everyone loves you. You love everyone. I have been wanting to get you two together to talk movies forever because I think both of you have such funny viewpoints, different viewpoints, informed viewpoints, and I think you'd hate each other, and I think it'd be great. And why hasn't it happened?
Well, Dan, you're getting your wish now. On opening day, David and I clearly acquiescing to you and just bowing down to your wishes. As you said, I like to be a great teammate and a consummate professional. I want to welcome David to the Metalark family, even though, as he said, he's not a member of the family. He's an independent contractor. He'll be like a third cousin. That's okay. I would like to point out, for the record, David has consistently belittled and denigrated my film opinions, yet somehow he is aboard the pirate ship. So clearly that shows where my standing in the company is, but I will take it not personally because it is nothing personal, and I adhere to the wishes of the Metalark family, and I want to be a great teammate. So, David, welcome aboard. It's all water on the bridge, all the nonsense and crap you slung my way. Hey, man, great to see you.
Okay, that was 48 seconds. Under my contract, I now get a 54-second spot right now. So you tell me when I can go.
Go ahead.
Because I clearly get to go more than Adnan.
Are you paid more than Adnan? Because you don't have the movie credentials around here that he does. We're paying Adnan for movies. He was at the Oscars. You were not at the Oscars. And I got another problem on my hands because then you got those dopes at Cinephobe. They want in on the conversation.
What's Cinephobe?
They want to be doing movies around here as well.
Well, Tony, I'm glad you asked. Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach Harper and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain whether or not they were accurately rated or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. That's Cinephobe. It's produced by Anthony Mays, and it's wherever you get podcasts. This week, we have the 1992 film Encino Man, starring Oscar winner Brendan Fraser and Oscar winner Keelan Kwan.
Okay, these are not the movies. You have to understand something. This is a different podcast. It's in the gutter. If you want to listen to Cinephobe, that's fine. That's Amin over there. Zach Harper wants in our world. He's not allowed in our world yet. He's complaining. He's criticizing us. Adnan and David are in the world, and they have different movie opinions. And Adnan, while being a good teammate, do I have this right? Because nobody wins an argument against David because David's a troll, and you can't win arguments against a troll.
Don't feed him.
Do I have this right that you
not
don't
a troll?
You
I'm
don't
the size of a troll, but I'm not a troll.
That you don't, but do you don't.
Hey, a little self-deprecation goes a long way. But, well, but, David. But it, ahead,
I just want an honest. It's an honest question. Do you like David?
That feels like that's a loaded question, Dan. I mean, can you be a little more specific? Like on what level? Like do.
Let's start with this. Would you have dinner with me?
Is it just you and me?
This is quite a game. Who would have dinner with David?
Oh, my gosh.
If it's you, me, and Dan, I would do it. If it's just you and me, I'm not sure. You know what? I'd be more inclined to go to a movie with you than have dinner with you. Because I'm like, you know what? We can sit quietly. We both love movies. I would like, Samson, let's go see a movie together. That I would sign me up for. Yeah.
We go to a place where they serve food at the movie, but it has to be eaten during the movie.
Correct. That's my qualification. Have dinner together while a movie is on. We're multitasking.
All right, so this
Will
is
you let me stand on a platform if we're on the red carpet together so when we're on air, it doesn't look like I am with Skipper.
All right, this is why there's some bullshit going on in the company. So you get all these egos together, and they all want to do movies, and like, who the fuck wants the movie opinions of Adnan Virk and David Sampson, and why? They're baseball guys, but they love the movies, and they're good podcasts. We haven't even mentioned the other one.
What's they
haven't even mentioned Adnan's. Chris Cody, executive producer, isn't doing any self-promotion.
Cinephile this week, if you're a big Succession fan, we're doing a deep dive on Succession this
Such
week. Adnan brings
show.
It
Such
every week.
Show.
Adnan, like, you could say whatever you want about Adnan. He is as knowledgeable when it comes to movies as anyone I've ever met. That's my man right there. Fist bump Adnan through the computer.
Cody, love you, buddy. Appreciate you. I'm trying to get Cody Astros tickets for tomorrow, so I appreciate it.
Wow, jeez.
We could probably do 50 minutes on Succession. I think it might be rivaling here best television show ever made, but these guys have opinions, both of them. Let's start here because I do believe they're very good on the subject of movies, but I don't think they're going to agree very much.
Wait, we're not talking baseball?
No,
wait,
I don't want
to. What is going on?
No,
right now?
I want to sell the movie podcast.
I'd like to put my name in the ring. Excuse me one second, Adnan. Let me start with this. You have dry cleaning in your picture.
I apologize, David.
When we're trying to do a show, when you
we're an hour away from MLB tonight, me and Harold Reynolds. I'm in the office right now. It's not my dry cleaning, if that makes it any better. But yes, your backdrop is okay, fair enough. That's an excellent adjustment. I'm always willing to adjust. Good teammate. Go
ahead. The audience, David, the audience cannot see this, okay? So you are now telling people this is not good. Why are you bossing Adnan around? And this is a big day for Adnan.
Adnan just got up and moved.
You don't know why is he moving his stuff?
I see it.
Hey, listen to me. This is a big day for Adnan. It's opening goddamn day, and he's at the center of Major League Baseball's epicenter.
He's got a new show with Harold Reynolds, The Six.
Yes, and he's wasting his time with us and so that David can make visual jokes on audio. But yes, why'd you move your dry cleaning for him?
I'm here to placate, Dan. I'm here to be a good teammate. Okay? We got to start fresh. I made it clear I don't want to hang out with Samson, but I'm here. I'm under mental rules. I have to listen to this terrible movie opinion. The least I can do is move the dry cleaning.
All right.
I have to placate before I argue with him.
Okay, fine. So let's do this. David, let's do your top five movies of all time. Let's start with something easy. Top five movies of all time for people who really like film. These are very considered lists. So let's do this. Number five.
They're my top five.
Yes, your top five movies of all time. Not Adnan's. I'm guessing he's got a different top five. What kind of f-ing question was that?
Lost in Translation.
The sound.
Wait, is he asking a clarification of question?
No, that was funny. No, that's funny what he just did there. Yes, Lost in Translation. Number five. Adnan, before we get to... give me the fanfare.
Lost in Translation. I mean, I thought he was making a joke that he was Lost in Translation as for his top five all time. That can't possibly be his fifth favorite movie of all time. That movie starts out with a shot of Scarlett Johansson's butt for like the opening credits.
Wow.
And then from there, I mean,
it's gotta be number one now.
It's not nearly as tawdry as one would have hoped for. Let's say that. Bill Murray's made about 100 better movies than Lost in Translation. David, it's a good movie. The critics liked it. I get it. Sofia Coppola. Different style, you know, May, December romance, set in Japan, fish in the water. But there's no, like, nobody on this show right now is saying to themselves, man, Lost in Translation is one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life. Nobody's saying that except for you.
That's okay. And the reason I'm saying it is that you, the character development and the relationship between Scarlett Johansson and Bill Murray is not a May-December romance. That's not what the movie's about. So that's not surprising that it's not in your top five. It's about the difference between an emotional affair and a physical affair and what happens when the connectivity gets measured one against the other. And one of the best scenes of any movie is when her feelings are hurt when he has a physical affair with the piano player at the top floor of the Park Hyatt in Tokyo. And the fact that Sofia Coppola put that movie together the way she did makes it a must-watch for anyone. And for me, I have watched it and dreamed about that movie more than almost any other movie I've watched.
Maybe it's because you've dreamt about having an affair the way Bill Murray dreams about having an affair with a younger woman.
Okay.
Off the rails. This segment is officially off the rails.
Adnan.
I still can't find this opening scene, by the way.
That's what you're looking for on the internet?
Searching feverishly.
That's the next movie on Cinephobe. Amin and the fellas are going to do Lost in Translation.
David, number four.
Number four is The Fisher King. A movie with Robin Williams and Jeff Bridges, who is a name that is in existence in my top five more than once. And that's a movie about a celebrity who gets caught up with Amanda Plummer and Robin Williams. It talks about mental health. It talks about, it's really like finding the Holy Grail, if you will. One of the more meaningful Terry Gilliam movies, underrated. People don't see it, and they should. And I find it to be very rewatchable, and I learn something new every time I watch The Fisher King.
I'd love to crush David on this, but he's right. The Fisher King is fantastic. Let's sing together, David. I like New York in June. How about you?
Michael Jeter.
I like a Gershwin tune. It's great.
How about you?
Yes. He's right. The world's Jeter, most Adnan, terrible duet. It? There it was. You it's just heard it. David, you got to let go. Adnan wanted to sing with you, David, and you didn't know the lyrics.
I'm glad.
Okay.
Mercedes Rule, fantastic. Won an Oscar, Best Supporting Actress. Excellent performances with Bridges, playing a Howard Stern-type jock. Robin Williams, ferociously funny. I'm with David. Underrated. And just a movie that throws everything in the kitchen sink. It's okay, wild, weird, good stuff.
But not top five. Not top five.
No,
for you.
Not top five. Is outrageous. Are you kidding? No. I should say without going. Top five is absurdity. It's not even the top 50, but it's a great movie.
Okay, well, hold on. So I want to just find the places of disagreement. It's the only thing I want to find. So that was no good. Number three.
The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. I want to be Benjamin Button. I want to age backwards. And the most powerful moment of any movie I've ever seen is when Kate Blanchett, one of the greatest actresses of our time, and Brad Pitt, one of the greatest actors of our time, they meet in the middle and they actually acknowledge that moment as he's getting younger and she's getting older, and they discuss and relish in that moment. That impacted me for years and every day since, as I try. This is all about me and having connections and trying to find connections. And the connection between those two characters in this movie is the greatest connection I've seen on screen.
David, how long is The Curious Case of Benjamin Button?
7 days.
2 hours, 29 minutes, let's say.
Yeah, 2 hours, 29 minutes too long is the correct answer.
Oh, listen, my God.
David,
there's no way you're telling me that's a rewatch movie. I saw it once. I said, okay, it's artful. I appreciate what it's aiming for. As you mentioned, themes of rumination and age versus youth. But there's no way you can tell me on a Thursday night, you say to yourself, you know what? Let's get the boys together. Let's watch The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. There's no way you could pay me up to watch that movie again. Come on.
Well, first of all, I don't get the boys together to do anything. I want to watch movies that make me feel. I'm looking to feel. I'm trying to find the wires inside me.
No, listen to me. All right. No, David, let me cut you off because we're out of time here, but I want to find other places where you guys want to headbutt each other. We're going to come back in a second. But yes, David is made of wires. He does not know how to make human connections. And so the films move him and they reach into the wiring and they touch a heart he did not know he had. And he might get emotional, and that's why his list is so terrible. We'll come back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Don Levitard.
You getting started on the breakfast flan?
Oh, man. I've been singing a song to myself all morning long. Breakfast flan.
Stugatz.
Have you never heard the breakfast flan song?
No, hit me with it.
Okay. I wish I had some breakfast flan. Breakfast flan. Where can I find a breakfast like that?
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
I mean, how is this list looking to you? This is not what you do on on Cinephobe. These are all very different podcasts, incidentally. David Samson pollutes nothing personal with his movie opinions that no one wants there. They want his business opinions, and he insists on talking movies there because he doesn't have any room to talk movies. He's wanted to talk movies over here. Adnan won't let him. Amin won't let him. Chris Cody won't let him. Zach Harper won't let him. Anthony Mays won't let him. He doesn't have anywhere where he can talk movies.
Here, he has this show.
Well, yes, but with reluctant people. Nobody wants to work with him in the other room. Adnan doesn't want to be here. He doesn't have an ally in the company except me who says, please help our business.
I'm his ally.
Who's happy that David Samson is here?
Not about movies, though, but I'm his ally when it comes to sports business.
Give me somebody at the company that someone has gone around and you're like, isn't it great that we added Samson to Metal Arc Media?
Jess?
They let me join the Slack, and I have not had anyone reach out to me yet.
Wow. You're in the Slack, huh? Wow.
Wait a minute.
So let David on Slack.
David, so we onboard you as a company. We don't announce you.
You didn't even do that. You made me do. By the way, Metal Arc has the number one security of any company. It's like you guys are ESPN or something, or CBS. There's 59 things to authenticate. Like, that's the best of your business because people want to get in your Slack. So I have 15 passwords I have to keep track of. They do an I thing. So I finally get onto Slack. And I see my name. Everyone is having these conversations, and I try to enter into them, and no one freaking responds. That's fine. That's fine.
I don't know why Amin has shaken. Why is Amin playing a harmonica? This is the desperate cry for attention that he wants.
Blues. He's singing the blues about like Metal Arc.
He wants his movies to get attention because he's got a podcast at Metal Arc 2. It's very popular. Quiet as it's kept, you have better ratings than Samson and Adnan with your crappy movie collection of turds.
I think our audience likes crap. I mean, they listen to us the most. I said it as a compliment. They like, you know, the wacky
stuff. But this is so.
Hold on, Chris. Do you want to maybe reconsider that statement? Can I put my business hat on for a second? It's not crap. It's entertainment. What we do. Respect the audience. Respect my movie list, Adnan.
I want to hear number two. Okay, I'm still hung up on The Curious Case of Benjamin. But if I may, then I'd love to hear David's number two and number one films of all time.
Number two, Grand Canyon. I can't. If you're laughing, Adnan, I'm gonna be so pissed off at you right now. If this is not in your top five, your list is a joke.
Grand Canyon.
Danny Glover, Kevin Kline, Mary McDonnell. Is this sounding familiar to you in any way? Mary Louise Parker, Steve Martin. Do I need to go on?
Rob comic.
This has got one of the most ridiculous scenes ever when his car breaks down and then Danny Glover helps him out. I mean, have you seen this movie? It is so offensive.
Synopsis.
In terms of race relations. Like, Kevin sure Kline, this rich white guy, like has his social awakening. Like, yeah. This is the Grand Canyon. You're kidding, right?
Synopsis. A diverse group of characters are thrown together through chance encounters while coping with urban chaos in L.A. The main focus is the growing...
It's a laughable movie, David.
The main focus is the growing friendship between an immigration lawyer, Kevin Kline, and a tow truck driver, Danny Glover, who meet when Klein's car breaks down in a crime-ridden neighborhood. Yes. When Kevin Kline breaks down in the hood, only Danny Glover can save him, and an unlikely friendship starts to flourish.
It's absurdity. There's nothing realistic about that movie.
Your blind spot here is as large as mine in other areas, and I can tell you as someone who's trying to figure out his own blind spots, the first thing is recognition. And David, this you, is like, I haven't heard your top five, but my guess is it's littered with like Godfather type movies because that's on everybody's list of top fives.
If you because want it's one of the greatest movies of all time.
What no one cares about and Dare to Be Different to get a bigger audience, fine. I'm giving you my real top five, not because what I think people want to hear. These are the movies that mean something to me. You want to yuck on it, fine. You want to not get it, fine. Grand Canyon is one of the best scripts ever put into the silver screen.
I thought we were talking about Casablanca. That would be one of the greatest scripts of all time, not Grand Canyon. But I appreciate that you're not pandering. You're being true to yourself. But the list is uninspiring, to say the least. What the hell's number one?
Wait. With my top five, Adnan?
Wait. Samson, it's your top five, and that's fine. But I got to be honest with you. Adnan Virk, a fundamentally decent human being, but... Him saying to you to your face that your list is what'd you say? Uninspired?
Uninspiring, to say the least.
That is cruelty from Adnan Virk. Like, that's as indecent a thing as that professional broadcaster will say to another human being in public. That is, because Adnan, your television personality, very likable.
I appreciate that.
Hugely likable, but that's the greatest truth you've ever told. Like, you said to his face, shit list.
Shist.
I don't want to put words in my mouth. I don't want you to put words in my mouth. You basically articulated how I feel about his list.
And just so you know that I care zero that you are telling me that my list is bad, because I spend hours, and I don't mean like 10, hundreds of hours during the course of my life. Including every year, whenever I see a movie, I decide where it's going to go.
No, I know. Listen, you pat yourself on the back. You make this top 100 list that nobody cares about. Like, you like spend hours like, oh, I've readjusted it. What number 78 today? Nobody cares. Not one person in your sphere is like, hey, David, what's 87? Is that Everything Everywhere All at Once? Why are you doing this?
All of the fat followers and all the people who listen to Nothing Personal, none of whom are bought or paid for. It's amazing the number of people who actually want access to the top 100 list, the picks of the day, the movie reviews, because they want to know what I think. But go ahead, continue in your bubble and say that Cinephile and Cinephobe and all the other podcasts and all the other ones, that Nothing Personal is shit. That's fine. Way to pump up your new product, Dan. That's
David,
really
David, David, it's not a bubble. It's reality. I want to hear number one.
No. You know what?
No, I'll tell you why I'm not giving you number one.
You know why? Because I have to go. Because I'm doing a show with John Skipper, who's the actual boss, where we're going to talk about sports business, and he's got a window that opens in 2 minutes. And
David, come on. I got to hear number one. Come on.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. I take it back.
Dan, this has really been a slice of heaven.
Okay, this has been a terrible start to the relationship. Yo, oh, no, he's gone.
He broke Samson.
Now he left.
Dude, we've had a lot of people go at Samson.
He left emotionally.
Look, but that's impressive what Adnan just did.
Nothing
Most
personal,
people
though.
Go at David, and he always has this look of, I don't care what you're saying. He got emotional there. That was personal. Good job, Adnan. Yes.
Grand Canyon is what broke David Samson. If only we'd known all along. Some maudlin, ridiculous movie from 30 years ago with Danny Glover. That was going to break David Samson.
It's unbelievable. I mean, Samson had been undefeated. He got everyone else emotional. Adnan Virk crushed his Grand Canyon.
Oh, I'm so proud right now. I love that. Check out Cinephile.
Also, like, that's a ballsy take by David Samson that Grand Canyon is the second best movie of all time.
Okay, listen to me.
Oh, my God.
Just listen to me. All of you competing around
greater
here.
Than the Godfather.
Man, you've got a very important job you're running. Thank you. I'm sorry we wasted your time with this nonsense. I know you have to get in there and just celebrate baseball today. You're at the center of it, being maximum broadcaster guy.
I appreciate it, Dan. Opening day is here. I just ran into Mad Dog Russo, who's a huge fan of your show, particularly Stigatz, I might add. And trust me, this was not a waste of my time. This was a great laugh riot for me hearing Samson's top five. I cannot wait to hear his number one.
Okay.
God bless.
All right, we'll put you together later and figure out. We'll reveal the number one to you. We'll unveil it to the audience. Can't wait. What could possibly be worse than Grand Canyon?
Move that dry cleaner back, by the way.
Let it ride.
See you later.
Awesome. Thanks, boys.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump.
Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.